Hello and welcome to Radio AgeTalk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay in Scotland, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show today Cara Stander, who's Managing Director of Investment 2020, and Joe Davis, who's an alumnus from the Investment 2020 programme that we're going to hear about in today's show. So welcome Joe, welcome Cara.
Good morning.
Morning David.
And I'll just let listeners know that this is a pre-recorded show, but if you've got any questions for Caris or for Joe, you can get in touch with the show in two ways. You can email edutalker, that's edutalkr, at hotmail.co.uk, or you can pop something up on Twitter and include the hashtag edutalk. So just to start off with, Caris, could you give us an idea about what Investment 2020 is?
Yes, certainly, David. Investment 2020 is all about creating greater opportunity for young people from a diversity of different backgrounds to access the investment management industry. And our role is to work on behalf of investment management firms who want to attract young people from a broad spectrum of society and people who may not necessarily have considered the savings and investment industry as a career potential. Traditionally, investment management has, I would say, has been quite tough to access. And we actively look for both the school college leavers as well as graduates to join the industry through our program. And our program, in a nutshell, is a one-year trainee program, or in some cases, slightly longer for those firms who prefer the apprenticeships. And the trainees get to develop the skills, experience, and expertise they need in order to start to forge a career within the industry. And it also provides them with a much clearer sense and insight of the career that they would like to pursue.
That's great. And can you say a bit more about why there's a need for Investment 2020 to exist, and a bit more about who you're specifically aiming to serve?
Okay, well, we're an industry initiative, so we started by the investment management sector, and with the aim of broadening our talent pool at grassroots level. We started 4 years ago recognizing that when it comes to sourcing and recruiting talent, employers weren't making the best use of talent out there. As an industry, we tended to recruit from quite a narrow selection of universities and with a focus on high-achieving maths and finance graduates. But interestingly, what we found is that senior teams within the industry tended to be more diverse than the graduates entering. So we were over time unintentionally narrowing the diversity of our intake, and for many reasons that is a problem. Industry senior leaders are very focused on changing this dynamic, as they do understand the benefits that diverse teams bring, both to the business and also to the industry. And they're very supportive of Investment 2020, the agenda and our program. And I would say there's also a real desire amongst industry leaders to help young people, especially those who don't have family connections within the city, within investment management, and which can make it actually quite challenging for them to be able to get their first rug on the ladder. A big part of my job is to look to inspire young people to consider a career within our sector. And while I believe there's a very compelling story to tell, there is a fundamental lack of understanding amongst young people out there on what our industry does. They don't understand the genuine social contribution that our industry has to society, the interesting work that it provides, and also the broad range of career options that are available to them. And you know, David, I've just finished conducting a survey with 1,500 young people, 16 to 24, across the UK, and exploring the ideas on how they see a career within financial services. And the results show that they see financial services as stressful and complicated. So we've got a big hill to climb.
And when you say about diversity and the need to bring in people from different backgrounds, you know, Is it more than just bringing in people who haven't considered or maybe don't come from family backgrounds or particular areas of the country or types of school, or does it go beyond that?
Simply put, diversity is diversity of perspective. thought and ideas. You know, and ultimately, we're looking for diversity of solution, because it's diversity of solution, as I always say, is the lifeblood of the investment management industry. You know, it's good for business, it's good for the end investor that our industry works on behalf of, and it creates opportunity for young people that we look to attract. And what makes up diversity? A group of people who aren't homogenous. You know, we're looking for people who've got different backgrounds, different life experiences, different interests, different skills. We want to see both genders working together. We're looking at different ethnicities and so much more. And I have to do a bit of a plug here for women, because it is noticeable how few women think to join investment management, yet there are more women leaving university than there are men.
And you said earlier on, Karis, that it's important to get across to people that there's a variety of jobs and careers in the industry. So can you give us a flavour about what kind of opportunities there are out there? And I understand some of them might be a little bit unexpected.
The jobs and the careers are so broad and really often incredibly exciting spread for a breadth of different people. There are those jobs, I divide them into two main areas. There are those jobs that are specific to the industry, and there are those that you would find typically in most corporate firms. So for the jobs that are typical to the industry, you've got those that are about investing the money, so people who invest their customers' money in companies. And these roles include research, portfolio management, asset allocation. Then you've got the investment processing, which we typically call operations. And it's here that we find the majority of the jobs, both within most corporations, but also within Investment 2020. And this is about everything that happens after investment trades. So you'd have trade processing, company monitoring, performance measurement, fund accounting, and they're all very different within themselves. And then you've got jobs related to investment rules and regulations. This is an extensive area and really a massive growth area. And then you've got sales and marketing, which is all about business development. And these roles include sales, public relations, marketing. You know, there are a lot of roles here for creative people, for creative thinkers. And then you've got your typical corporate roles. And these are the roles that you would find in most firms. Yet, interestingly, young people don't think of these roles in terms of the investment management industry. So you'd find managing people, which we call human resources. You'd find accounting, legal jobs, technology, big growth area. I've got a job right now that I'm looking to fill in facilities management. So it's obviously a very non-investment role. And we're struggling to fill this one because people aren't thinking of our industry in terms of these roles. So they can actually pursue a career within a particular profession, but do so within investment management.
Now, we're going to go on to hear from Joe, who was on the programme in recent years. So just before you introduce Joe, Karis, could you just tell us a little bit about the programme? And then, Joe, I would like you just to come in and maybe give us a bit about your own background.
Sure. So our programme is about opportunity and really getting a foot in the door. And our firms, they aim to be light on recruitment so that they can give people a chance. You know, we don't focus on grades or what we call relevant work, what others call relevant work experience. I'm still trying to figure out what relevant work experience is, because to me, all work experience is relevant. Because these aren't barometers for future potential, but they do very much limit access. While it is the intention of our firms to offer a permanent job on completion of the traineeships, we don't guarantee a permanent job. It's very much up to the trainee to demonstrate that they can do the job, that they're willing, they're eager, and they've got a thirst to learn. So we have 72% of our 1,000-plus trainees to date have been offered permanent positions as they transition off their traineeship. And it's interesting to note that many of those who don't stay on are often school leavers who've decided to go to university before they progress their career. An important part of what we do at Investment 2020 is that trainees become part of a collegiate club and they get to build industry networks. And we know how important that is. You know, if I look back on my own career, having those networks and being able to progress. And they effectively become trainees of the industry rather than trainees within their own firm. And they also get to participate in centrally organized events where we bring along senior speakers and they provide insights into the industry. And this really augments the learning of the trainee.
Joe, so welcome again to the show, Joe. And so could you tell us about your own background and how you came to access the Investment 2020 programme, and then tell us a bit about the opportunities that you gained?
Yeah, thank you, David. So I left school at 15 years old after my GCSEs. I was one of the young ones in my year. And to be quite honest, after my GCSEs, education wasn't for me, I felt at the time. And I was actually, during the last few months of my GCSEs, I was working a part-time job at weekends on a building site for like £50 a day. And at 15, 16 years old, £100 a week, you feel almost like you're on top of the world. And the full-time position on the building site took me away from education. So I actually took a full-time position after school working on a building site from the age of 16. And to be honest, I quite enjoyed it until about 6-7 months down the line, I actually had a reality check and decided that that wasn't for me. And I knew if I wanted to progress my career in something that I really wanted to do, I needed to find education. But I had left school and it was halfway through a school term, so I couldn't go back to sixth form and continue education. So I knew working on a building site wasn't for me at this point. So I started working in retail jobs and I tried certain roles to try and find something that I actually enjoyed where I could find a career. And I came across, after a couple of jobs, I came across working in O2 phone shop, working for sales, working towards targets and building networks with customers. And that was the first time I'd found a job where this is something that I want to do. This is something I want to move forward with. And once again, it came to, I worked at O2 for about a year, and it comes down to the question again of progression and where can I go? Because I'd felt in a year I'd achieved a lot at O2. I was assistant manager of the store, I was closing and opening, but there wasn't much progression for me at that job. And me and my mother went back to the drawing board and actually had a conversation of where do I want to go now? I'm 16, 17 years old, and it's time to move forward. So we had a Google, and I knew that I wanted to work in like salesy environment, like a fast-paced moving environment. And I was looking at internships and placements, and Investment 2020 was something that came up on the internet. It was like the first hit, and I had a read and read some reviews about people's experiences and what the scheme can offer. And I read the spec and realized I didn't have the qualifications to be able to get accepted by these asset management firms who are working with Investment 2020. And then it was time that I had to change, and this was something that I really wanted to do. So I went back to my sixth form and asked if there's any way that I can sit A-levels or BTECs externally or anything that they can do to allow me to get my CV up to the scratch of what it would take to be accepted by the Investment 2020 or even just to better my CV. So my school allowed me to sit A-level equivalents externally whilst I was working full-time at O2. So I took that offer, and whilst working 30 hours a week at O2, I'd come home and do coursework from home. And that took about 12 months to pass, and I got both my BTECs, and then that allowed me to get my CV accepted by, or my CV looked at by Schroders at the time through the Investment 2020 scheme. And it was all a bit of a whirlwind, and Schroders contacted me and then said, "Joe, we'd like to call you in for an interview." And I suppose you can probably imagine the transition from working in O2 to then being interviewed by one of the top asset management companies in Europe was quite a step up. But I really enjoyed it. And I think what helps is, I really didn't know what an asset management company was at the time. I didn't even really know what happened in the finance world in the city. I just know that I wanted to work in the city. And I knew that career progression in London is that there's no limit. So I went along to the interview. I didn't know what to expect. I had no expectations of how the interview was going to go. And it really was just a nice chat with my line manager, who was to be. They had no expectations of me. They just wanted to know if I could adapt into the role. This is a job that you have no past experience. They just want to nurture you and treat you and that's what they did. And I did really well in the interview, and I got the position at Schroders in the Insurance Asset Management Department. And that was in September 2014. And then it's adapting into working in the finance industry and learning on the job. And you think, can I do this? Can I adapt to this sort of environment? And everyone makes you feel so welcome. Like Harris said, that there's a network of trainees who also are working in Schroders, but not only Schroders, loads of other asset management firms who are on board with the Investment 2020 as well. So you almost are like part of a club. You always meet up on behalf of Investment 2020. They offer conferences and training where you build your network, not only in the firm that you're in, but also other asset management firms. So I now have friends 3 years down the line who work for M&G, Columbia Threadneedle. I have like my own personal network, and that's not a network of trainees. That's now a network of people who are actually doing and excelling well in their positions in other asset management firms. And it was something that Schroders are really supportive of the Investment 2020 trainees, because they know that they're building up talent inside their firm.
And Joe, can you kind of capture exactly, you know, what you feel you've gained from being in the programme, and then looking at the 2 years since you left the programme, how it's assisted you to progress your career?
I started the Investment 2020 scheme at Schroders with such an open mind. Like I said, I didn't have any backing experience of finance and how the finance industry worked. But because you have such an open mind, you absorb so much information and you learn so much so fast, especially at a young age, you absorb so much information. And it was brilliant. And I developed. And also the Investment 2020 scheme offer an exam. At the time, it was called the Claritas, which is the foundations exam, which teaches you all you need to know, the foundations of equities, bonds, and inflation, and that sort of stuff, which just builds and builds and builds. And it all contributes.
I mean, it sounds very much as if what you've picked up in terms of sort of formal learning and experience on the job and the networks must have benefited your career in the 2 years since you moved on from the programme.
Yeah, exactly. So the experience that you gain is fantastic. And what you have to understand is that the year comes to an end. It's a year's trainee scheme. So my intention and my goal was always to be kept on internally at Schroders and build a career within Schroders, because I enjoyed it so much. And the year came to an end, and I actually didn't get kept on in the team that I was working with due to circumstances that were outside of my manager's control. The HR actually really, really helped me, because they knew that I really wanted to stay on and they knew that I was good at what I did. So HR actually helped me find a position within Cazenove Capital almost 2 weeks after I actually left.
Gareth, a ringing endorsement of the programme there from Joe.
Yes. No, he's been, I must say, he's been a superstar. And certainly I know when Joe transitioned from when he wasn't able to secure a permanent position within his team at Schroders, and his team, the HR team, worked really hard to find him a position within Cazenove. And for those listeners who don't know, Cazenove is the wealth management arm of Schroders. But of course, then he's no longer a trainee, and he suddenly now got to face an interview, you know, which is an external interview. It is an interview that external candidates would go through. And suddenly you go from being very nurtured to you're out there, and can you manage this? And Joe was incredibly successful. He transitioned into Schroders. He got the job and has recently been, I won't say promoted, but given extra responsibility, which he didn't think that he would be able to get within the time that he's been there. So that's been a great success.
So Cazenove has been a fantastic experience for me. I've now worked there for 2 years as a client service executive. So my main role is to provide support to the portfolio directors and the portfolio managers who run their accounts. And Cazenove have been very supportive of my exams, because I've made it clear how I want to progress within the firm. So I've recently passed my investment management certificate part one, and I'm currently in training to pass part two. And they're very keen on progression and how I would like to move forward. And they listen to me. They're very understanding, and it's been very, very enjoyable. And I'm happy to say I really enjoy the role.
That's great. Joe, and congratulations on how things have went for you. And I hope everything continues to go well for you in your job in the sector in the future. And Karis, just to finish up, or just as we're coming towards the end of the show, based on your work with the many other trainees and Joe, can you just kind of sum up what kind of individual qualities the industry needs in trainees, and how the demand for these various qualities has maybe changed over recent years?
Okay, well, we aim to hire for attitude and train for skills. And I think Joe really does embody that. We're looking for enthusiasm and energy and creativity. These are the skills that we look for. You know, some jobs do require a high degree of numeracy, but many don't. And what we would like to see more of, David, is technology skills. As just like every other industry, this is the way of the future. And the range of tech careers are incredibly varied, you know, from coders to cybersecurity, digital innovation, and more. And students don't think of financial services, and certainly not investment management, as being innovators in technology. Yet it is here that the biggest growth and evolution will happen within our industry. And how exciting to be part of that wave of change. The feedback I get from my clients is that the program works. The trainees bring enthusiasm, they bring energy and a lack of complacency, and they also drive a cultural change from the bottom upwards. And certainly I would say to any young person, if they feel that they can fit within that, which I'm sure they can, then we would love to hear from them.
And so how do people find out more information about Investment 2020?
Please do visit our website, www.investment2020.org.uk. We can just Google Investment 2020 and it will come up. And we have a wealth of information, both in terms of the employers that we represent and their programs that they have. And we actively promote their vacancies when their jobs are live. But we also do have careers information. You know, I'm a passionate believer that you need to be able to explain in age-appropriate, clear language what the jobs are. So all the jobs that I touched on very briefly, we have more detailed information, and that's really helpful to young people to have a look at that. So I urge those of you who are working as professionals within education, please do come have a look at our website. There's an opportunity for you to register as a careers professional and also to encourage your students, whether they are at school, whether at university or finished school and university, to register so we can tell them about the new opportunities. And, of course, mums and dads, mums and dads out there, they're everywhere. They are the greatest influencer on a young person's life, and we do very much would like to be able to share opportunities with them.
Joe and Karis, thank you so much for taking time out to join us on EduTalk today. Best wishes for the future, and you have an open invitation to join us again at some point to let us know how things are progressing. So thanks again.
Thank you very much, David.